together, talked about being so free. Willkommen bei Mit Milch und Zucker, wo wir mit Menschen Kaffee trinken, damit ihr sie kennenlernen könnt. Willkommen zurück bei Mit Milch und Zucker. Neue Woche, neue Folge. Wir haben auch diese Woche eine spannende Gästin für euch vorbereitet. Werden wir jetzt ganz schnell schon auf Englisch switchen, weil unsere Gästin ist zu uns geschalten aus England. So I'll just explain that you're from England and we're talking to you today. Your name is Victoria. Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
We've known each other for quite a while.
Yeah, we met a few years ago at a summer school in Austria, in the mountains, though.
Yeah, it was beautiful there.
So shortly to get an introduction of who you are, or is that your name is Victoria, and you're currently the head of England for Friends of the Earth, which is also in Germany. You're also, well, the whole group is also active in Germany. And we are going to talk about that for quite a bit, I think. But the rest of what we are going to talk about, Brenda will explain now.
Hi, Christiane. Hi, Victoria. It's really nice to talk to you again. It's been too long. And we, in our series of our Corona series at Mit Milch und Zucker, we thought we'd like to hear some voices outside of Austria and hear how the coronavirus changed your life and how you're dealing with it. And we have a couple of questions. And this time we have questions. Usually we just ask whatever pops up. But this time we have questions. So we think we are prepared. But the first question we always have in our series is, how are you today?
I'm well, really well. Thank you for asking though. I hope you're both good as well.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know that, but in Austrian news, the UK isn't on the top list as country dealing very well with the coronavirus because there were different ways of dealing with it. But how are your measures, like how do the lockdown measures change your life or how does it affect your life?
To a fair extent, really. So neither my husband, I'm married, my husband Dave, we both live in Birmingham in the UK, so right in the middle of the UK. And actually, I don't know if you know much about Birmingham, but we live very close to the Cadbury chocolate factory, so near Bourneville. So it's really, really close. We used to live so close you could smell the chocolate, but we live a bit further away now. So, and he works at the University of Birmingham. I work for Friends of the Earth, and both of us are working from home. Mm-hmm. So our offices are closed. His university campus is completely closed. Mm-hmm. There are a few students living in accommodation who aren't able to go home, either they're international students and things. They're completely empty. They're doing some, I think they've got some labs open, doing research work and things, and some that just couldn't close. My work, all our offices are closed down and have been for longer than the lockdown. Yeah, we closed about 2 weeks, chief executives, we've got two, a job share. They decided to close down our offices about 2 weeks before the official government lockdown. Our lives have changed quite a lot in terms of day to day. We've had less restrictions here in the UK than they have in France and in Italy and Spain, mm-hmm. because we can go out for a walk or exercise, like a bike ride. They say for about an hour a day, but there are no limits. They're trying to give some guidance on how far you should travel, but you shouldn't travel to walk, or you shouldn't, you know, take the car to walk somewhere. But you know, I think in some countries they have to have, like in France, they have to have a certificate to show or something on their phone, and we don't have anything like that.
Okay.
And we can go shopping, but they say try and limit it and to only once a day or less. So we're trying to really reduce that. So there's less freedom in those ways. Now, in terms of my day-to-day work, I think it's quite funny. Where I do my work has changed, mm-hmm. but the type of work I do probably hasn't changed so much because I manage quite a big team of people, about 12 people, but I never saw them day to day in an office anyway, because they're based all around England. So kind of all my, you know, friends or colleagues have had to get used to using Teams or Zoom. And to be honest, my team use those all the time anyway.
So it's not that new.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody's going, oh, I'm getting eye strain or I'm this. And I'm thinking, God, I was doing this before. And I suppose that's quite interesting. I had one of the things I did really early on in lockdown, when a lot of people I knew were having to get used to communicating with their colleagues online or having online meetings, I posted up on my Facebook like some helpful things. I hope they would be helpful on like how we run our online meetings and stuff and how we communicate with each other. I had people, you know, a couple of weeks later going, oh, this has been so useful. I have to say that our whole organization is using these now and things like that. So that was quite funny. And yeah. I did think, gosh, in the 5 years time, I'm going to go to somewhere and like go to a meeting and they'll be using the language that we use in our England team meetings, you know. It is strange though. The roads are much quieter. You know, people are not, you know, we don't see each other. We're having socializing on Zoom, things like that. Yeah, it's all quite different.
Is there any view on when the lockdown measures will be lifted or partly lifted?
So we've had 2-3 week periods of lockdown and we are coming to the end this Thursday of when the second period of 3 weeks finishes. Now, this weekend, we have got a bank holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. Normally, it would have been yesterday, but because of the day, because of the end of World War II, they originally, last year, decided that our bank holiday from work would be on Friday to commemorate. Mm-hmm. And I think the government are really apprehensive that many people would take the opportunity of what is going to be really nice weather, because the weather forecast is perfect, like 22 degrees, to go and go crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know where they think the people are going to go. Nothing's open. But I go into the countryside and things like that. But that's where it's been really tricky at the beginning. And so they're not announcing anything till Sunday. They say on Sunday they're going to make the announcement of what's going to go on with lockdown. But there are lots of rumours going on about, oh, it'll be another 3 weeks. Oh, some things will reopen. It's difficult to tell. And whilst the number of deaths from people from coronavirus is falling in England, it's not falling. You know, if you look at the curve, we're still quite high.
But how does this economy deal with it? Because that's the big thing in Austria. Things are getting lifted and people are going crazy because on Saturday, it was the first day that IKEA was open again.
Okay.
So people went crazy with that, for example.
Yeah.
But
there were people outside of IKEA.
I know. What have we got open? So there's some food shops that are open and there are some shops that are food, they've got small amounts of food, but they've managed to keep open because of that. Mm-hmm. And there's been lots of crazy stories where the police have been, oh, you know, they're not buying essential items, that's all you should be buying. It's quite tricky, really. If you're in your house, what are you going to do? You know, you want to buy paint. My garden has never looked more, you can see I painted the fence very early on in lockdown. I painted my garden furniture. I ordered it all online. It's all fine. It took weeks to arrive. It was worth the wait. So they've been opening some stores, like DIY stores, have slowly been opening. I think that people are really cautious and there are other people. The government is concerned that people are going to be very paranoid, really, about going out. And they're slightly concerned that their message has been too strong and that people will really be too scared to go. So on the one hand, we might have people queuing like massively outside shops, but on the other hand, they're worried that other people, they'll just not go out of their houses.
I see with you, because I've seen on Facebook, on Instagram, that you've been really good with the lockdown and you stayed at home and do a lot of cooking and working.
Yeah.
But is it easy for you to go outside and say, let's go for shopping or something?
Yeah, so like I said, I live in Birmingham. We live quite, normally it's very convenient where we live. There's a station just down the road. We have got a little high street and we've got a small supermarket. We've got a fruit and vegetable shop, which is great. Mm-hmm. And it's not very big. They only let three shoppers at each time to go in. And we try just to go once a week. I mean, it's on our way to the park. So if I go during the day, I might see they've got a bargain, you know, and I'll I'll pop in. It's funny though, that store, that shop, it's very small. It's not a big business. They're not owned by a chain. And they never used to take cards. You always had to pay cash. Now you can finally pay by card. I feel quite grateful. And they've now got screens up to stop, you know. So I think there's more things like that. So I think the shops are getting set up. You know, going to Sainsbury's, the big supermarket, I'm trying not to go there very often. But you have to for some things. I never used to do the scan and shop. Like you have a little, I don't know if you have it in Austria, you can scan it and put it in your own shopping bag. And that's the best thing ever. Because now you don't have to queue up, but because there are really long lines. But it's the only time I keep bumping into friends there, which is quite nice.
Yeah. You
know? that's the strangest thing, is not seeing your friends. It's really hard, I think. That's the hardest thing about it all.
You said before you are kind of allowed outside for 1 hour a day, plus minus a few things. How do you plan those hours? Because I imagine, because we didn't have such thing where the government said you're only allowed to go outside for 1 hour. We had those restrictions that said you can go outside for shopping, for helping other people, and for doing sports or something, but not like a time period. And I'm imagining having this time period of 1 hour, which is actually quite short per day, that you want to pack a lot of things in there. How do you plan these hours?
I suppose if the exercise is meant to be like for an hour, and they've kind of said that as a guidance. I know there are people who've been going out for longer, and I went for a long cycle ride, not this weekend, but last weekend, my husband, and we were out for like more than an hour, definitely. So they're trying to give a bit of guidance, I think, because people had a lot of questions. In Wales, they have been really, I think they were finding that people were going on very, very long cycle rides, like 5 hours and going long distances. And one of the challenges has been that they were concerned that emergency services were going to be affected by them if people had accidents or if they couldn't get rescued. So the hour is about exercise. Going to help people or going shopping is separate to that. So you don't have to keep everything within an hour. They just try to give guidance because I think people wanted all this information. And there have been stories about the police, some police forces going over the top with their reaction to people, you know, and that's been tricky. But do you know, one of the really nice side bonuses from this all has been that we've discovered places to go and explore in really close to our house that we never knew were there before, like a whole nature reserve, some really nice places. So that has been a real bonus. On the other hand, I've not been able to travel to lots of places that I was meant to be going to.
And you were traveling quite a lot before.
Yeah, I used to travel even more for work, but in this time we should have gone to Iceland on holiday at Easter. I was meant to be going to Aberdeen to see my oldest friend and her daughter for a long weekend. There were other things. And another strange thing, my family all live abroad, my close family all live abroad. My mum and my sister both live in New Zealand, and my brother and his family live in California in the US. So we are also used to communicating online already. Mm-hmm. So I know for many other people, their families are much closer and they're used to seeing them more often. That for me and my family, that's not been quite so much of a challenge, although we're all in lockdown, funnily enough. My husband's family don't live in Birmingham. They live about an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. So we probably would have seen them in this period. Obviously, we haven't.
But are there any laws? If you're allowed to meet other people, because in Austria, that was, I think, the biggest discussion is at which point, where are you allowed to meet who?
Yeah. Because you're still not meant to meet other people.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be. That's the difference.
Yeah. Sorry?
Not meant to be or not allowed to be, because that's the difference.
I'm pretty sure we're not allowed to. And you're still meant to keep this 2 meters exclusion. Mm-hmm. So in some places, so like I remember the other evening we were in the park and you could see some people standing outside, you know, back from the window of people talking through the window at them. And sometimes you see people with their front door open and they've got like, I mean, a friend of ours has brought us around some rhubarb. He's growing it on his allotment and he brought around a bundle. I make jam and marmalade. So he took some marmalade, you know, and you kind of put it down on the ground and all this kind of stuff. So things like that. But yeah, we're not meant to, you shouldn't be going to people's houses. You shouldn't be meeting up. You shouldn't basically be seeing people who you don't live with.
Yeah, that was the same story here. But before Easter, our Minister for Health said it will be not allowed to meet people for Easter. And there will be a law. And then they said they had to take it back because they can't tell you who to meet and not to meet at your own home.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between meant and allowed. And that was a big discussion here. Well, if I hear you talking about the UK, I think we had a whole other bunch of discussions in Austria.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's always about how much can you bend the rules. And in Austria, the funny thing is, in Austria, the distance you have to other people is 1 meter, not two.
1 meter? Oh, really? Such a shock.
Yeah. And the funny thing how they describe it is how much distance you have in between other people is one baby elephant. One baby elephant between two people, and that's our measurement.
Well, I've had some friends kind of try and describe to their kids the distance is the same as the dad lined out, because the dad's quite tall. You know, one of our friends is really tall. He's trying to say, like, you've got to have that much distance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I was in Nairobi right at the end of February, beginning of March. So, like, a week, 2 weeks, like, I guess probably for me, just before our work lockdown finished, mm-hmm. You know, and I saw the baby elephant orphanage in Nairobi. So...
So it's quite easy for you to imagine a baby elephant.
Exactly. They're quite big, actually.
Never seen a baby elephant.
2 meters. Do you know the most difficult? I feel really bad saying this. The people who are the worst at social distancing, is what they call it in English.
Yeah.
Are the people who are older.
True.
You know, and that's been really difficult because when you're out and you're in a line waiting. And I think people are slowly getting more used to it. I feel really, it's really frustrating, but it's really bad. But there's some older people who just kind of push in, or we're trying to respect distance by keeping everybody safe. It's not for me, it's for you as well. And that feels very difficult. The news today, yesterday, has been, okay, if they start relaxing social distancing for some people, it's about the kind of human rights, I suppose, of older people who also want to be able to have the freedom, the liberty to go and make choices on their own, for going out and about as well. And that's quite difficult.
Yeah, I had a discussion with my parents today, and they are like in the vulnerable group, and they said it feels a little like being discriminated, that it's all like, you are not allowed to do that, you are not, and you are in danger, kind of. At some point, actually, we are all in danger, as we've seen in the UK. And that's a question we have. Do you think that the illness of Boris Johnson changed the attitude towards corona in the UK?
I think it did, because it was relatively early in the cycle. I think already there was a recognition that it's an illness that doesn't... People would see Boris Johnson as being privileged. Mm-hmm. You know, he's Prime Minister, he's come from a very privileged background. But clearly this is an illness that can and does affect everybody. So people did start taking it very seriously. The impact in the media of him going into hospital was quite deep. And I think it had impact on how organisations reacted to it as well. It's funny, clearly they understood that his having to go into hospital would also have an impact, because they delayed him going in by several days, apparently. And probably it would have been better for his health to go in earlier. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And obviously he's become a father again since he's come out of hospital in the last week. You know, the other thing though that's really affecting people is the number of doctors and nurses, care workers, mm-hmm. who have not just become ill, but have died from coronavirus. And that has really, quite a number of doctors, nurses have passed away. And there's a lot of questions being asked by, scrutiny of we call it PPE, protective equipment and clothing, masks, greens, gowns, mm-hmm. and the suggestion that the NHS, we weren't prepared for it. I find it quite difficult to understand how they weren't prepared for such a thing, where it was quite clear early in the year what was happening in China. and in other countries.
And we knew from other countries that what things are important right at the beginning. But that's a thing that in Austria you don't hear about nurses or care person dying.
Not really.
Nothing.
Not really?
Nothing.
Oh no, we're having a lot of coverage of it. And actually what the media are doing little obituaries about, you know, the coverage of them. But there also is a number. There are lots of concerns as well about the number of members of diverse communities, BAME diverse communities. Mm. Is it more, they're more affected by it than white British? And it, you know, it's very, very, there's some very challenging conversations taking place about, is there a greater impact on health wise, you know, or why basically? Is it overrepresented? It's very difficult. You know, we've got to be considering these things. But the basic challenge has been that early on, this protective equipment wasn't available for people to wear to protect themselves and their families.
In Austria, the government at the beginning, our chancellor said that if we don't have the social distancing and the lockdown now, we all will know somebody who died. That was his message, which was kind of hard because we weren't that bad off. Like, it didn't hit us that bad. Do you think that this kind of language would have changed the behavior in the UK from the beginning?
I think they did really take the message hard. I think the challenge was the government didn't make the decision about lockdown early enough, really. I have had I know people who have had the illness. My uncle has it now. My uncle got it in hospital. He has a form of Parkinson's disease. He had a fall at home and he got taken into hospital about 3 weeks ago. And while he was in hospital, he contracted it. He's doing okay. I was just talking to him just before I joined this call with you. I was just having a chat with him. He's very lucky. It's not gone to his lungs. It's got a high temperature that they can't get down. I've had colleagues who've had it, and I also have friends whose parents have died from coronavirus. So, yeah, I would say people are affected by it really very much. The language they've been using has been stay home, stay safe, and protect the NHS. That has been successful, but I think it was at what stage they started to use that language. I also think there were some organisations who were slow at responding and supporting their staff to work from home when they could have done earlier. And certainly at work, my work, like I said earlier on, we've been working from home for about 2 weeks longer than the lockdown. One of my colleagues thinks she was never tested. It was before the testing came in. We've been very slow on testing. She thinks she's had it, and she thinks she got it the evening after they announced that our offices were closed. Mm-hmm. And if she had, they hadn't closed their office, she would have come into work. You know, I can see that it would have traveled very quickly in our shared office space where there's hot desking and things. But our work has been great. We made that early change lockdown. Our work gave us extra 3 day holiday so we could prepare because they could see that lockdown was coming. We have a very few people who are on furlough, and it's only through choice. And that's if you've got a lot of dependency care and you just couldn't manage. Mm. And with their topping up to be full salary, even if the government's only going to 80%, we're topping up the rest. They also have a fund that we could claim to buy furniture to work from home for a desk or chair so that they're really thinking about that. And, you know, I think there's going to be a long-term impact in that lots of people have found out that it's much easier to work from home and communicate effectively than easier than they thought it was. Mm-hmm. And I think in the future, a lot more people will be making that choice and supported by their employers because there's lots of savings that way, you know. Mm-hmm. It's forced a revolution.
How do you see that? But I think with working from home, and I do that for weeks now, and it's kind of easier because it's a very small commute from the bedroom to like the computer. But the thing is that we have to learn how to socialize again in some ways, because if you're not used to going out or going to work or having a chat, buying a coffee or something, we have to get used to a new kind of reality, how to deal with people.
Yeah, that's
actually
true.
It's like, it's not like before. It's a new learning of interacting with people. Because, for instance, I have an appointment tomorrow where I'm meeting, like, I think 5 people or something in the district council. And I don't really know how to act because I can't shake their hands. I don't see if they're, like, reacting to me. It's going to be weird.
So are you meeting them online or are you meeting them in person?
In person.
Oh, you're in person? Okay, yeah. I still can't get my head around that. I'm like, oh. Yeah. Anyway, and do they have to wear face masks? Do you have to wear face masks in Austria now?
Yeah, in public buildings, I think.
Okay.
The public kind of the area, but I'll take it with me just in case.
With our laws, it's sometimes a little, you're not quite sure what to do. We know we have to wear a mask for shopping and for commuting in trams or tube or whatever. But if the tube or the tram is too full, you don't have to have distance, just if it works.
Okay. So we don't have to wear face masks yet.
Okay.
And I wonder if I had wine with Zoom or Zoom with wine on Friday night with some friends. And that's what we were talking about, was if we're going to have to wear face masks. I think nobody knows for sure, but one reason could be is there are not enough masks yet for the NHS workers. They don't want to run out, you know, so that's a challenge. The working from home thing, I think, is people are finding it a lot easier than, you know, they're getting a lot of time back in their day. One of my team said, you know, I have 2.5 hours more each day, you know, than I had when I was traveling to work in London. People, I think, are finding it the toughest though are people with little kids,
yeah,
you know, who would rely on childcare or schools, obviously, and they're now trying to teach their kids and work. And that's, I think, yeah, that is, we don't have kids, so yeah, that's not something we've had to try and balance as well.
Yeah, I think it's quite hard.
Have Austrian schools opened yet?
Partly.
Ooh, okay.
I think right now it's the case that classes are split in two groups, and the one group goes to school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the other group Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the other group is Friday. It's
And they split it in age groups, like people who will do their A-levels this year, this summer, they went into school now, and the last kids will be the smallest, right?
Smallest ones, yeah.
Yeah, it will be in next week, I think.
Interesting.
Split in steps.
So they decided here that students who are meant to take their GCSEs at 16 or A-levels, 18, they won't do their exams.
Really?
The teachers will decide their grades based on their work so far. So maybe on their mocks and on their grades through coursework and stuff. And so is a suggestion that students will be able, if they're not happy with the grade that their teachers suggest for them, they'll be able to do exams later in the year. But obviously, I have no idea how university entrance works in Austria. But here, A-level results come out because the students apply for university.
Yeah.
And then in August, the results come out and the university say, you know, you either get in or you don't. And then they start in late September, early October. So the period is quite small. If they wanted to retake, they would have to do it. They would not go to university this year. Now, my husband works at the university here near us in Birmingham, and he actually works in the administration. So he's looking at things like student numbers and the financial side of it all. Lots of questions going on about what university education will look like in the next academic year.
Yeah, it would be interesting, everything, I think.
I mean, my team works really closely at my work with our community campaigners groups, and we moved our campaigning online. So we've been really busy supporting them with lots of training and webinars, one-to-one support on the technical digital tools to communicate with each other and outreach. We've had to cancel events that were due to take place this summer, like one day, we call it, one day, I guess, campaign conference kind of event. We're hoping they'll be able to take place later in the year, but obviously it's too early to know what's going to be allowed. At the moment, my biggest kind of thing personally, we've got tickets booked to go to New Zealand for Christmas to see my mum and my sister. We've got no idea if we're going to be able to go. We've not seen them since last Easter when my sister got married. Thank goodness it was last year, not this year.
Yeah.
You know, because not just my family, but lots of friends went over as well for the wedding. It was really, my sister married a farmer. They live on a farm. It was a really great wedding. would just been terrible not to, for it all to not have happened. And if it had been this year, it would be right in the middle of it all. Very, very relieved.
Yeah, but I think, like, in Austria, it starts to, like, traveling starts again slowly.
Mm.
Because with some countries in the European Union, you're allowed to travel to when you have a PCR test. Like, you, there's a test that says you don't have the coronavirus now.
Yeah.
So probably, and they opened one of the big stations of it at the airport.
Hey.
2 hours, so you can, if you, so it's quite expensive. It's 190 euros, but yeah, you can travel at least.
It's a lot less than my ticket to New Zealand.
Yeah, that's so probably that's what's going to happen for us in the future. We know quite a bit about the UK and Corona now. If you look in the future and you say, from your perspective, in a year from now, what do you think will have changed? And what do you think, what we will take from this lockdown, social distancing, slowing down? What do you think will stick?
I think I wouldn't surprise me if I was working a lot more from home. You know, wouldn't surprise me. I'm curious at how international travel will change. And I'm somebody who loves to travel. You know, I've made other lifestyle choices, you know what I mean? I would find it very difficult not to be able to travel personally. I also wonder about how things will be like in social, how will people have the confidence to go out and to socialize more? I mean, are restaurants open and cafes open in Austria?
Not right now. I think they're opening on the 15th, which is a week from now, I think. And they have all these weird restrictions that only 4 people can sit on one table. In between tables, they have to, has to be like a certain amount of meters. And the waitresses have to wear like a mask.
And gloves, I think.
So it's not really your go-to restaurant datey kind of romantic experience.
No. You know, it's funny because I was saying, you know, like a year ago, just over a year ago, we were at my sister's wedding in New Zealand. And that feels like a lifetime ago now. And a year's time also feels like another lifetime away.
Mm-hmm.
What it's going to be like. But I really hope that that things have improved in terms of having the confidence to go out. And I really hope that we are able to take on more of a normal kind of social side of life too. It's really funny. Yesterday, there was this thing that cheered me up most was the news that scientists have discovered a really big step in stopping malaria.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot of work working with campaigners, particularly women, in the last few years in Africa. So I've really seen, you know, and seen the impact of malaria on, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. And it really gave me hope that in the midst of all the gloom about coronavirus, which is hard, really hard, that there are successes in other places. And it gave me optimism that we will find a way through this too, you know. So I really hope that's the case.
I think if I hear talk, I think that we in Austria, we are kind of in the whole lockdown thing, we are a step further.
Well,
and we are discussing now when to expect the second wave.
Yeah.
That's our main discussion right now. And that's scaring. It is scary because we've been now through, we've been through the worst, but thinking of going back to that all again isn't a very pleasant sight of life. But
yeah, because now you know exactly what's coming. You know exactly what you won't be able to do anymore. And if it's all of a sudden, then you just can't do it anymore. But just waiting for that to happen is just like torture.
So do you think they would bring in more restrictions again? They would lift them and bring them back, them and bring them back?
Always a possibility, they say so in all the press conferences. They say it's not the end. We're loosening the restrictions, but just know we have like this emergency thing when just everything went back down again. I think it's just a case of like keeping the people a bit like restricted, and so nobody goes crazy.
I know. I think people are really aware of that here, and that's why people are really apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
About things being lifted.
The thing with what they're saying here is that it's kind of a trial and error, because you try to lift one thing, see how it reflect on the data and then you try the next thing. But if it doesn't work, you have to go back. So there's, but one main issue we have in Austria right now is our holidays, summer holidays, and because tourism is a big thing, and same with the UK. And but it's really interesting, and I find that really interesting because I think it's different in the UK, that the tourism says, tourism people say, it won't be enough just Austrians visiting Austria. It won't be enough for tourism. But I think, do you think that's different in the UK? Like when you think of summer and you can go somewhere in the UK.
Do they mean that tourism is not enough people going and not enough people spending money? Yeah, I can imagine that here as well. I mean, we have a lot of tourists in London, you know. Like I grew up in a tourist town in Devon by the seaside. And yeah, most of the tourists that would come and visit would be British, mm-hmm. but not most of the tourists who go to London or Edinburgh or, you know, those kind of places. They're not all British, you know. I can see it will have an impact. I couldn't tell you what percentage, you know, of GDP it is, but I read that the New Zealand one is 6% of GDP is tourism.
Yeah.
And 6% of GDP for any country is a lot.
Yeah, true.
True. So, yeah, I couldn't tell you the British one. I read on the BBC, I think the French are considering a 2-week quarantine.
Really?
For people travelling.
Oh, yeah.
But whether it's actually going to happen or not.
It's funny if you talk about it because we hear it all the time here. But if you have to tell other people, it's kind of funny because in Austria, it's like we want to open the borders for the good countries. Mm. Like Germany, who they have not a lot of cases, or the Czech Republic, but maybe even to Croatia, whatever. It's like, and I think that's a really bad way to think of starting dividing countries in good and bad, because
our borders aren't closed.
Really? They aren't closed.
They're not closed.
So I could travel the UK if I'm...
Yeah, but I don't know if you can leave Austria.
I think leaving is always easy.
Yeah, our borders aren't closed. There are still flights coming in.
Really?
It's unusual. Do you know what's funny? Is, I mean, I live in a city. You know, we've got an airport. It's a busy airport, not that far away. We often see flights. But at the moment, you don't see flights. And the skies are really quiet. And so if you see a helicopter or... Yeah. There was a Chinook went over the other day. You know, it was like, oh my goodness, you know, what's going on?
I would say we have that as well, because where we live, our district is quite close to the airport as well, and normally a lot of planes are flying across my, I can see them, I can count them all the time, I just don't realize them anymore, and suddenly it's so quiet, and and every time I see a plane, I go, oh, wow, look at that, where is it coming from, where is it going?
Yeah.
It's really funny, because that's something I remember from my grandparents living in Bracknell near Heathrow, that it was always, we had to run out to see the Concorde. Because that was coming in, and you could see because low, and was watching airplanes. But
I was just reading today, actually, a BBC. I think it was a BBC story. One of the Concorde pilots passed away from coronavirus.
Really?
Yeah, they just said today on it. Sorry, a bit, you know. But yeah, it's that kind of thing. They've been in these little stories about people and individuals. The biggest story recently has been this gentleman, Major Tom, who had his 100th birthday last Thursday, I think, and he raised millions of pounds for NHS charities.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
My uncle, who's the one who's in hospital, he says he met him, they lived quite close to each other, relatively, and they did physio together in hospital a bit ago, and he said, oh, I recognised him. He was very sprightly. He's 25 years older than my uncle.
Your uncle's doing fine, so we don't have to worry.
No, he seems to be doing okay. Yeah, he's just a bit bored in hospital.
And is it being in hospital right now, is it different to before?
Like, I think there's not many patients. Quite normally, obviously, our hospitals are quite busy. We're not allowed to visit. He lives a couple of hours drive away, and we're not allowed to visit and travel or anything like that. They're not allowed in. But he says there are empty beds because people aren't going in for unnecessary operations and things. They're concerned that people are putting off, if something happens to them, if they're not feeling well, they're afraid, people are too afraid to go to hospital. So there may be other consequences. But I haven't seen any real evidence from that. But my uncle says that people are wearing, you know, lots of PPE and everything, you know, lots of equipment. So, and he has to wear a mask. His first positive test was about 2 weeks ago, though. Yeah, we just wait and see. But there is, he's having physiotherapy and all this kind of thing as well.
And it's kind of dangerous because, but if it's two weeks ago of his first test, then he should have been through the worst now.
We hope so. His first week didn't seem to be too bad. I mean, he's had a temperature for the last week, but we'll see.
Let's hope for the best.
Well, fingers crossed. He sounded quite bright today, so that's good.
That's good, yeah.
I'm going to go for my walk in a minute. I haven't been out yet today.
So thank you for taking the time and talking to us. It was really interesting because I think we can learn from other countries and we can learn from each other. Talking to other people is always good.
It is. It's been nice chatting.
So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a nice walk today.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.